Welcome to Travel Witch Radio, brought to you tonight by the best Western Palm Beach lakes in West Palm Beach, Florida. This is a show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with co-host Anita Stokes-Thomas. Every week at this time, we bring you inside the world of travel, from hotels and tours to cruise ships, planes, trains, and things you can eat on your trip. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the show later on Facebook, blogtalkradio.com, or my website, danschlossberg.net. Our special guest tonight is my longtime friend, Tony Mula, owner-operator of A Slice of Brooklyn Bus Tours. Welcome, Tony, to the 315th episode of Travel Witch Radio.
Oh, hey, Dan. How you doing?
Anita and I are doing great.
How
Tony,
you,
your
Anita?
Company
nice
is growing.
As well. Yep.
Sorry. Yeah, thanks. Tony, your company is growing quickly and beautifully, just like Brooklyn itself. Let's start with your name, A Slice of Brooklyn, a great play on words. Would you explain its origin to our listeners?
Sure. Absolutely. And again, it's always an honor to be on your show. So thank you again for having me. You know, when I first decided to leave 20 years of healthcare and do tours of Brooklyn, the original idea for this tour was what I was giving, these informal tours I was giving people, which included, you know, the movie locations, the landmarks, the neighborhoods, the pizza that made Brooklyn famous. So since pizza was a big part of it, we thought, okay, well, what would be a great name that would serve the pizza tour? But then also, if we continued, because I had this, you know, this booklet that now, you know, I started in 2005. Now, 14 years later, this thing is falling apart. But it had all the original tour ideas that I had for the tours, so for the business. So I figured, what's a good name that'll serve the pizza tour, but as well as maybe in the long term? And it turned out that A Slice of Brooklyn Pizza Tour turned out to be the name of the tour, and then we continued with that and called the company A Slice of Brooklyn Bus Tours, because I just think it kind of lends itself well to what we're doing. The whole goal is to experience, to expose people and allow them to experience all the things that have made Brooklyn famous. Again, the neighborhoods, the landmarks, the movie locations, the foods, the history, etc.
Now, Tony, you started with a pizza tour, which is still going strong, as you just explained, and we'll get into a lot more of that in a couple of minutes. But let's have an overview of everything that you offer.
Oh, sure, Anita, absolutely. Well, the pizza tour, I started the pizza tour in 2005, and that ran for a couple of years. And then about 2-3 years later, I started a Christmas lights tour. We have an Italian section here in Brooklyn, which was sort of under the radar when I started doing tours in 2005, but it's what we all grew up with in Brooklyn. You know, we never went to Rockefeller Center to celebrate Christmas. We'd come to the neighborhood known as Diker Heights. So naturally our slogan during the holiday time of year is Rockefeller Center, forget about it, because we have Diker Heights. It's all these amazing homes decorated every December. So that was the second tour that I developed. And then the next tour after that was the neighborhood tour, which we actually just renamed the Best of Brooklyn Tour, because we kind of threw it together as a way for people to experience other parts of Brooklyn that we don't feature on our pizza tour. You know, Brooklyn, most people don't realize that Brooklyn is over 3 times the size of Manhattan. So even in a 4.5-hour tour, you're just barely scratching the surface. So the goal was that I would develop these different tours that would lend themselves to different parts of the borough where you'd never see the same thing twice and see different things. So the name, the Best of Brooklyn Tour, really says just that. It features neighborhoods like Brooklyn Heights, and we go to Greenwood Cemetery, and we show people where the Brooklyn Dodgers once played, where Ebbets Field once was, and we take them to eat at Junior's for a full sit-down lunch. I mean, what's more Brooklyn when it comes to food than Junior's and a slice of cheesecake and an egg cream? So that became the third tour. And then the last tour I created just a few years ago is the chocolate tour. And because my wife is convinced I just create tours based on the foods that I love. And I think she's right about that, but I'm an admitted chocoholic. And I've been following the chocolate scene in Brooklyn since 2000, when famous pastry chef Jacques Torres left Le Cirque in Manhattan and decided to open in Dumbo under the Manhattan Bridge, in a, you know, a little shop that suddenly people were venturing outside of Manhattan to come experience these amazing chocolates. So as a chocoholic, I followed his success, his sort of progress, and then other chocolatiers opened in Brooklyn, like the Chocolate Room in Cobble Hill and Rocca Chocolates and Red Hook. So I thought, okay, now would be a great time to develop a chocolate tour of Brooklyn. And those are the four tours that we have: pizza tour, Christmas lights tour, best of Brooklyn tour, and a chocolate tour. And we're currently working and hope to have it launched by June 1st as our new brewery and distillery tour. So at that point, we'll have five tours to offer tourists.
That sounds terrific. Well, Tony, getting back to the pizza tour, you make two stops for different kinds of pizza, but also offer photo ops between the bridges. For those listeners who think Dumbo was a flying elephant, you need to get them to change their way of thinking. So, Tony, what does Dumbo mean to you? And no political jokes, please.
Absolutely. Well, Dumbo stands for Down Under the Manhattan Bridge Overpass. And it's an area that literally sits under the Manhattan Bridge, but actually goes all the way to the Brooklyn Bridge as well, because both bridges kind of cut into the, came into the neighborhood and sort of redeveloped it from what was just, you know, Vinegar Hill / you know, the Brooklyn waterfront. He decided to create this neighborhood and created the moniker Dumbo for the neighborhood. And again, it stands for Down Under the Manhattan Bridge Overpass. And all throughout the tour, we have people asking us to remind me again, what does Dumbo stand for? Down Under? Yep, Down Under the Manhattan Bridge Overpass. And we always joke around because they always forget the last letter, the O, and we always say, well, without the O, it's just dumb.
Tony, I've taken your pizza tour twice, and I loved it both times. It's 45 hours, about 50 square miles, and covers considerable territory across the borough. Plus, patrons learn and see a lot about Brooklyn history, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Dan, listen, it's one thing to just, you know, feed people and feed their stomachs. But, you know, in my mind, we have to feed their minds, their souls. They're just, when they come on, we want it to be a completely immersive experience so that, you know, I know that we're successful when people say stuff in their reviews like, it felt like a friend was showing us around the borough. And that's what we, you know, that's what I've always strived for when it was just myself doing the tour. And then when we had the other tour guides come on and, you know, who are all Brooklyn born and licensed New York City tour guides, that's what you want. You know, as an avid traveler myself in the 1990s, when I was in healthcare, the one thing I learned is that people around the country and around the world are fascinated with Brooklyn, whether it's a food, something legendary like the Dodgers, Coney Island, the Brooklyn Bridge, actors, movie stars. I mean, heck, almost every 1940s war movie always had, you know, the funny Italian guy from Brooklyn who usually got shot and killed in the movie anyway. But what I'm saying is it's always been a part of, you know, a part of popular culture. And so when I realized that we were going to introduce people to the borough, you know, I just felt that it was important that we really expose them to as much as possible in the most convenient and comfortable sort of way, so that they're eating, but they're learning and they're getting those fantastic, you know, photo ops that people want to go home with.
Well, Tony, tell us what kind of vehicles do you use and why do you equip them with video screens? And also, do you
that's
have
a
minimum age for passengers?
Yeah, no, that's a great, those are great questions, Anita. So when I first started, you have to understand that what I did was I would travel to other places around the country and around the world and speak to locals who would be so nice enough to show me around their hometowns that then when they came here, I would show them around. I'd often meet them at the airport with my car and drive them around. And when you point certain things out to people, they may know what you're talking about. They may not. Sometimes you wish you had an old picture. And back then in 2005, I mean, I didn't have, you know, a smartphone with images that you know, go on the internet and show them stuff. So a lot of it was sometimes it was lacking in what I was trying to convey. And then when I realized that I was going to pursue this full time, and I realized, you know what? Well, maybe if we use vehicles that have screens on, we utilize the screens that these buses have, because I've taken tours before and those screens just sit there. And I thought, well, what if we use the screens to convey the old images? Hey, here's where Ebbets Field once stood. This is what it looked like, literally what you're looking at right now. Maybe we could do a split screen to show the old photo and show what it looks like now. When we go by a movie location like Saturday Night Fever, you know, maybe we could show the exact clip as Travolta's walking down 86th Street, or, you know, recreate that chase scene in The French Connection under the elevated train line. This all became something to me which was a big going for me was going to be a big part of what I was going to need to convey Brooklyn to people, because Brooklyn's history had already changed. I was doing part of Brooklyn's history. It has continued to change as Brooklyn grows as well. So a lot of times you need those materials to show people and convey to them what Brooklyn was and still is. Even on the ride back, for me, it was always important that we keep people entertained the entire time. People work hard for their money. So if you're going to do a tour, you should really be as informative and as entertaining as possible, you know? So to me, it was important, even on the ride back to Manhattan. How do we keep people entertained on the ride back to Manhattan? We utilize those screens. Well, at the end of the tour, maybe they just kind of want to relax for the ride back. So we do a whole presentation set to music on the screens of famous actors, musicians, politicians, all the famous people from Brooklyn. So they're always sort of learning something, whether the tour is, you know, the beginning, middle, or end of the tour. So for me, it was important that we convey that through the screens of the bus. And mind you, this was way before other companies started using screens on the buses. The buses we do use are 23, 38, and 56 passenger buses. And what I've come to realize is that's very important is to convey to people that these are enclosed buses. They're not open buses. They're not double-decker buses. These are buses that have heat in the winter, air conditioning in the summer, restrooms. You know, when I thought about what was going to be needed to do a tour like this, I thought, okay, I'm going to have to do the tour and be as authentic as I am and entertaining as possible. The buses need to be new and comfortable because that's a big part of when you do a bus tour, right? Utilizing the screens, mm-hmm. making sure that there's an entertainment aspect to it so there's no empty moments or blank moments during the tour, if you will. So it was important to utilize buses of that size so that we can do public tours, private tours, manage different size groups. Remember, we do bus tours, so there's always a minimum you need to meet when you have a bus due to the expenses, unlike a walking tour where you can just do for two, you know, 5, 12 people, et cetera. So there are different things involved when you're doing bus tours as well.
Well, what about a minimum age for passengers? Can everyone come on board, or what about small children and adults?
Yeah, so we found that because of the fact that the tours have we focus on so many different things, so it's not like we're doing a five-hour history tour, let's say, of the Battle of Brooklyn. So because of the material, we're able to be sort of accessible and enjoyable for people of all ages. So while our demographic tends to be maybe in the 35 to 65 range, we also get families and people who come with their teenage kids. And, you know, we have an adult price, but then we have a children's price for 12 and under, and anything under age 5, we don't even charge for at that point. You know, it's five or less, then we don't even charge for that. But we found that, you know, people come on the tour with their kids, and you know, they're also looking for stuff to do, and there's nothing more satisfying than reading a review where a parent says, you know, my 12 and 10-year-old said, you know, the pizza tour was the highlight of their holiday in New York, you know what I mean? Because they're kind of getting dragged around to what the folks are planning too. So it's always nice to see that our tours, especially the Christmas tour, my gosh, on that one we've got grandparents with, you know, with their kids and their grandkids, and it's just really just fun for the whole family.
Now, we're talking with Tony Mira of A Slice of Brooklyn Bus Tours. Now, you mentioned a little bit about a minimum number. So what is the minimum number of people required for you to take a tour out?
Yeah, so for us, we need a minimum of 10 to 13 people, depending on the tour. And what I mean by that is that on certain tours, we have food costs that we have to cover, the guide, et cetera. So on certain tours, our food costs might be more than, let's say, on a tour, obviously, where there is no food. Like on the Christmas Lights tour, there is no food. So we're in the 10 to 13 passenger range, which, you know, most days we don't have a problem covering. The other thing, too, is why I wanted to do bus tours was because when I started doing these tours in my car, we really covered a lot of ground. As Dan said, just on the pizza tour alone, we tell people we cover pizza and Brooklyn from one end to the other. You know, the tours all start in Manhattan. We go over the Manhattan Bridge and start in Dumbo, which is the northernmost part of Brooklyn. By the end of the pizza tour, we're finishing at the southernmost part of Brooklyn on the Coney Island Boardwalk overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. So you've literally, people have been able to cover a good chunk of the borough, which they might not have done on their own. They certainly can by train, but they miss everything in between and then sort of, you know, get them back. So for me, it was like, you can't cover all that unless you are on a vehicle of some sort. So that's how I ended up with the idea for the bus tours. I couldn't imagine trying to cover everything we cover, you know, with a metro card, trains, and getting, you know, 20 to 30 people on the subway, getting them from place to place. Of course, we also benefit when there's bad weather, you know. Should it be raining or anything like that, we can easily get on the bus, still travel, still do the tour. It's very rare. It would have to be a major, major snowstorm, and the city would have to be crippled that we wouldn't be able to get out there with the bus and do the tour as planned.
Tony, how often does the tour run?
Well, right now we've got the pizza tour runs 5 days a week. The chocolate tour runs 3 days a week. The Best of Brooklyn tour runs on Saturdays. And then the Christmas Lights tour, my gosh, that one, it runs every single night in December. We run about anywhere from 4 to 5 coach buses a night in December. That's how popular that tour is. So, you know, in any given week, we could be running tours 7 days a week.
Okay, let's talk about the chocolate tour. I understand you recently added pizza to the various chocolate tastings. Please explain.
Well, this is one of those things where you learn as you go. You know, I created this chocolate tour out of my love for chocolate and love for the chocolate places and what they're doing. And so at each stop, there's literally anywhere, it could be like 2, 3, up to 5 or even more samples, depending on which stop that we're at. And for some people, they found that, you know, all that with all that sweet chocolate, they would like something savory in between. And I feel that because I'm the same way too. I'm salty, sweet. So we thought, well, what better way to kind of throw that in? Because people were asking us, where could we stop? And, you know, after the tour, they were asking, you know, where they can go. We were suggesting it. So we thought, you know what? You know, we do the tour. We do a pizza tour. We know great pizza in Brooklyn. And while we work with Grimaldi's and Spumoni Gardens for the pizza tour, there are times that Grimaldi's has been, you know, under reconstruction. They just recently redid their kitchen. So we were using places along Court Street in Cobble Hill, like Table 87 we were using, and Oteca on Court, Sal's Pizza. So all these great places were serving this incredible margarita pizza. So we thought, you know what? Between we have 4 stops on the chocolate tour. Usually after the second stop is when people were asking about getting something savory to eat. So we thought, well, why don't we just throw it in? We didn't increase our tour price at all. So this way we can see how it works and if people are satisfied with it. So now we actually have, it seems like people have been really wanting pizza and chocolate. You know, a lot of people were posting on our Facebook page too. They were like, boy, if there was a way to combine the two. So they spoke, we listened, and that's what we do now. And listen, certainly not the worst thing to have a slice of pizza breaking up the chocolate, right, in between the chocolate stops.
Oh, for sure. And you also offer a Brooklyn Highlights Tour, a Best of the Borough. Does that one go from Dumbo to Brooklyn Heights and beyond?
Yeah, that one. So what happens is, like all our tours start in Manhattan. And the reason, you know, when I started, I wanted the tours to start in Manhattan because this was 2005. It was a bus tour. Certainly, even if I noticed most walking tours were asking people to meet them in Brooklyn, and they weren't having much success at that because, you know, Brooklyn, for most people, it was always inviting to us, but for most people, it wasn't as inviting in 2005 to hop on a train. Since I was going to be doing a bus tour, I thought, well, I'm going to have to go to Manhattan, you know, where the tourists are to benefit from this. And people thought I was crazy, but how else would you do it? You know, if you're doing a bus tour and you want to sort of steer people away from Manhattan for a few hours and let them know all the great things that Brooklyn has to offer. So, yeah, just like all the tours, the Best of Brooklyn starts in the Union Square area of Manhattan. We go over the Manhattan Bridge like we do on all our tours and give people that great view as you cross the East River, and they get the views of all 3 bridges, the Brooklyn, Manhattan, and Williamsburg. And on that one, we start right away in Brooklyn Heights. We head off over the off the bus and do a nice leisurely stroll through Brooklyn Heights featuring landmarks like the Hotel St. George, or one of the key scenes from The Godfather was filmed, and we take them to see the promenade so they get go home with those great shots of the skyline and the waterfront, and take them to see the Pilgrim Plymouth Church of the Pilgrims and the house where Moonstruck was filmed and the house that Truman Capote lived in when he wrote In Cold Blood and Breakfast at Tiffany's, as well as where Norman Mailer lived. You know, then it's back on the bus and we head over to Junior's for a full sit-down lunch. We do pastrami sandwiches, fries, soft drinks, a nice big slab of their legendary cheesecake for dessert, and then a chocolate or vanilla egg cream if people prefer vanilla. And then we continue after that. After the sit-down lunch, we still continue up Flatbush Avenue and show off things like the Brooklyn Academy of Music and the Grand Army Plaza. And they go around the museum and show them the cultural part of Brooklyn with the museum and the Botanic Garden and where Ebbets Field used to be, and then into quintessential neighborhoods like Park Slope and Windsor Terrace, sort of like that brownstone Brooklyn, and then take them over into Greenwood Cemetery, where we get off and do a stroll of the grounds and show them the chapel and where some of the famous are interred. And the movie locations on that tour include The Godfather, Moonstruck, Dog Day Afternoon, which was filmed in Windsor Terrace, As Good As It Gets, as well as some others. And again, that came out of a need because people would stop me on the pizza tour and say, hey, are we going to see Park Slope today? And I'd say, no, that's kind of at the opposite end of the direction we're going in. You know, hey, what about Flatbush? What about where the Dodgers once played? Are we going to see it? No, not today. We're going south towards Coney Island. So basically that's, you know, there was a need for it, and that's how I developed it.
Well, Tony, I'm a little curious because I know since you don't always know the traffic on any given day, how long does it take and how does that really affect your ability to show these wonderful things around Brooklyn?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Nita. So for the most part, all our tours start roughly at either 10:30 or 11 a.m. Why do they start 10:30 or 11 a.m.? One is because we obviously need the traffic, that morning rush hour traffic, to die down. It gives people a chance to maybe have a leisurely breakfast, although we tell them don't eat too much because we're going to provide you and we're going to feed you with a lot of food on the tour. But by 10:30, 11, starting in Union Square, it only takes about 15, 20 minutes to get downtown to the Manhattan Bridge in Chinatown and over to Dumbo in Brooklyn. And by that point, then, we're usually there. We get to Dumbo and we're done with photos and things by 11:30. And at that point, if it's the pizza tour, we can go into the pizzeria. And then now you're talking about sitting down and having lunch somewhere. If it's the Best of Brooklyn tour, we head up just up the hill from there in Brooklyn Heights and do a walking tour. And then before you know it, we're done and it's ready for lunch at Junior. So what happens is we time it so that general rush hour traffic is down, and then we're able to travel in with ease, do our sightseeing, then sit down and eat. And obviously now, an hour and a half later, after you get started, traffic has died down even less. However, this is New York City we're talking about, the city that never stops when it comes to road work. Whenever we get stuck in traffic, I always tell our customers, I say, folks, this is going to be a great city when they're done with it. Little do they realize that these are the same highways. Am I right, Dan? These are the same highways we've been working on since we were kids. You know, it's just crazy. They never stop. And so it's always a challenge. Right now we're seeing a lot of construction in downtown Manhattan along the Bowery. And we take the Bowery down to, you know, to the Manhattan Bridge. Well, my gosh, I mean, just with the construction alone, sometimes you have to figure out tours and things like that. Now, I've seen a big change since I started in 2005, because now you have drivers that actually have comprehensive, you know, GPS systems. And before you even get on the road, they'll confer with us and say, hey, listen, I know we normally take Bowery, but look, it's all red on my GPS. What if we go around Broadway? We'll make up the time this way. It's incredible. You know, I mean, the technology has improved as well for us so that we can combat these issues, that the issues don't change, but maybe the way we deal with them gets better as time goes on.
Fascinating, fascinating. And we're talking with Tony Mura of A Slice of Brooklyn Bus Tour.
Tony, what is your own background? I know you were in healthcare for a long time. How, why, and when did you start your company? You mentioned 2005. Is that correct?
Right, 2005, exactly. I I started in healthcare in 1986. I graduated from Borough Manhattan Community College with a certificate in respiratory therapy. And I started working as a respiratory therapist. My first 2 years, I wanted to see it all. So where did I go? I went to Bellevue, and I worked at Bellevue, which is a major trauma center in New York City. And I worked there for 2 years. And then after that, I switched to St. Vincent's Hospital in Manhattan. And why did I switch? Because St. Vincent's Hospital had 12-hour shifts. So you got to work, you know, 3 days 1 week, maybe 4 days another week. And it afforded me the luxury of time off, traveling, et cetera, and a certain lifestyle. I did that up until the early 2000s. And then as I tell everyone, Dan, I believe I've told you this, I just got burnt out. You get in healthcare, you get burnt out psychologically, physically, emotionally. So I knew it was time to bow out, but I really didn't know what to do. And a couple of my friends saw that I was a little bit despondent because I came to this crossroads, but really had no idea what to do. And, you know, I tried to follow all the professional advice, which is sit down with a pad and a paper and write down what you know and what you love. And I was, I sat down, I was like, well, I know Brooklyn and I love Brooklyn. I know pizza and I love pizza. And there was nothing. I didn't know what to write after that. You know, my friends saw me and they were like, it was kind of like the scene in The Godfather where Don Corleone shakes Johnny Fontaine, like, you know, you can act like a man. You know, they were like, what's wrong with you? Every time we speak to you, you're always showing people around. You have this incredible passion for your borough. I mean, they even dubbed me like this ambassador to Brooklyn. They were like, this is what you need to do. Nobody's doing tours of Brooklyn. And it's incredible how sometimes your life takes twists and turns, and sometimes those twists and turns are literally right under your nose, and you don't realize that it takes a friend or a loved one to say, don't you realize this is what you're good at? This is what you do. And so that's how I kind of switched from healthcare. And I thought, well, maybe if we do it a certain way, I had been on tours before. And I thought, well, maybe we can really convey how great Brooklyn is. You know, to me, I always felt like we were living, every Brooklynite will tell you, we always felt like we were living in the shadows of Manhattan, you know? So right away, my slogan became Manhattan, forget about it. You know, it's like, we have so much to offer in Brooklyn. So I started to get excited about it. And I thought, well, what if we use buses? What if we utilize the screens? And what if I can really convey what I couldn't convey in the bus? And suddenly people started to catch wind of what I was doing. And the Beth Harpaz, who was the travel editor for the Associated Press, who happened to live in Park Slope, Brooklyn, caught wind of it. And she was like, this is an amazing thing. We need this. We don't have this, you know. And she did a little 3-paragraph blurb for me. It must have been at least a few months before I even launched the tour. And this went to every smaller outlet and market in the country. It was put in Parade magazine and Relish magazine, all those inserts in the Sunday papers. And that really helped. And it struck a chord with people because I think, you know, what do they say? One in every four people in the United States has a connection to Brooklyn or is from Brooklyn. And so, you know, or has family from Brooklyn. So it really just caught on like crazy. And so something that I really didn't realize was under my nose, you know, that my friends pointed out to me and then really just got so excited about it. I had no idea what to do, mind you, because I was leaving one career for the other. I just knew the experience and how to create the experience. So someone put me in touch with Georgette Blau, who runs location tours in New York City, and she's the top tour company in New York doing tours like the Sex and the City tour, the Sopranos tour, the TV and movie tour, and now she has a superhero tour. And she was the same. She left the career, saw something, a need for doing tours in New York City, and she sat me down and gave me this incredible advice. And, you know, first you need a tour guide license. A tour guide license? I didn't even, what do you mean? What is that? Well, that's what you need to do tours. And, you know, you need to get insured. Why do I need to get insured? I mean, literally just sat me down. And to this day, we remain loyal friends. She's still a mentor and a great friend. But just the point is that when you leave one career for the other, you may have a dream and you may have a great idea, but how do you implement that idea? And that's when it's important to sort of surround yourself by your peers who've done this before, who've left a career.
Okay,
who knows
okay
exactly
Tony,
what
we're
to
really
do.
Running out of time here. Just tell us your website, please.
It's aSliceOfBrooklyn.com, aSliceOfBrooklyn.com.
Okay, we've talked to Tony Mueller. We could talk to him for another hour. This was great.
Oh, my
Thank
gosh.
You so much for doing great tours. Next week, we're going to talk to Virginia Sheraton of Finn Associates. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time.
I'm a traveling man.